If you enjoy the Homeschool Made Simple podcast, it's time to attend one of our 2026 events. We'll be in Minnesota in March, then in August, we'll be in Tennessee and Texas. Plus, we have a summer webinar this June. Gain long-term vision and fresh encouragement for homeschooling by taking time away from everyday life to dive into learning more. Visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars to register and make plans to join us in 2026. Carol has often referred to high school as the golden years of home education. Your child is finally old enough to engage in a depth that brings discipleship and learning to a whole new level. It can be tempting to outsource your high schooler's education because of things like physics or calculus. But in this episode, we want to encourage you to hold on to the most important parts of your child's education in order to really launch them into the world in strength. Let's dive into the high school years. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. And I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, we're revisiting a conversation Carol and I had about homeschooling during high school. Before we jump into the episode, I want to share with you a math program that can help you manage math for your family. CTC Math makes learning math easy and effective. Pat Murray uses creative graphics and animation in his short lessons to help kids understand math concepts with lots of time to practice what they've learned. Every grade level is included in one family-friendly price, and they even provide homeschool families with a special half-price discount. Start your free trial at ctcmath.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode.
Well, we've been doing a series about our philosophy of education here at Homeschool Made Simple. And so we started about the big picture of our philosophy in a nutshell. We've been making our way through all the different stages of a child's development, starting with preschool and then elementary, middle school. And now we're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about the high school years when a child is 15, 16, 17, 18 before they're leaving the house and launching into the world. And Carol, maybe you could share why you've always called these the golden years.
Yeah, I think this is when, as parents, we reap the benefit of the way we've been raising and educating our children. This is the time where we go deep with curriculum and richness. You know, we're not doing Dick and Jane. We're reading Shakespeare and Dante. And it's also the time when relationally, our kids become such a joy. This is when you have adult children, in a sense, to communicate with and have conversations with. And they're helping share the load of raising maybe some of the younger siblings. They're running your errands. They're dropping kids off at ballet and basketball practice. But most important, they're becoming friends to you intellectually and spiritually, where you can really do life and share with each other on a really rich, deep level. And all that you've done is now paying off. And it is just such a joy. I have had people tell me, I know kids have told me, lots of kids have told me, that their parents are their best friends. And then I've also had parents say to me that their kids are their favorite people. I know parents love their kids, but they don't always like their kids. And I think homeschooling really creates a mutual admiration and respect that is just beautiful. I see it everywhere I go. I see these homeschool teenagers and they are a delight and everybody wants a piece of them. Everyone wants them to work for them, marry their child, you know. It's really, this stuff, it produces some lovely fruit.
So you'd say keep the kids home all the way through the high school years. Don't send them off in ninth grade to the public school or just anywhere, you know.
I do think that people historically have exited stage left during high school. And I think that's really unfortunate because, as I said in the last section we did, I think this is the most important part if you had to choose a time to homeschool. College, I think, is when your theology makes up its mind. But high school is when you start making the decisions that will put you in the stream where you'll make up your mind. You know, I'm going to go to Beeson Divinity School, or no, I'm going to go to Cal State Fullerton, or, you know, whatever, and why. And these are where my mentors will be, at the right school, you'll have professors that will shape your destiny and your future forever. And I know if JJ were here, he would tell you that. And my daughter-in-law, Kristen, would also tell you that. That the teachers that they had in the different Christian schools that they attended shaped them and shaped their destiny. And now they are shaping other people's destinies as a result of those mentors. And so people are like, but it's, you know, this school is more expensive and this, da, 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 da. And I understand that. But how do you put a price tag on your children's spiritual future? Money is just one parameter as we make these college decisions, because very often the more expensive schools actually have much more aid available than like a state school does. And so we don't really worry about sticker price. We worry about, can I get a presidential scholarship? What is the work study possibilities for me here? You know, all those things, grants. It can also give you more ownership and more intensity. You know, nobody ever flunked out of college who paid for it themselves. And so giving your kids that ownership, all that starts in high school. On the other hand, I think their senior year is kind of a waste of time. I have to say that. So I have no problem with you graduating them early and sending them to Bible college for their senior year. Don't quote me to the Bible colleges, but I do think that that is a better use. A lot of times senior year is just a time of kicking back and riding around in convertibles. It's like, why? What a waste. I'd much rather see your child, you know, go on a mercy ship and work or go to YWAM, or, but particularly to study the word. A lot of those ministries, they're discipling kids, but they're not teaching them the word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, foundationally. And so at the Calvary Bible colleges, the kids go from Genesis to Revelation, every word of the Bible. They will have studied at least once, and in a lot of the books, more than once. That, to me, sets you up for a life of confidence biblically. You know what you believe, and you know why you believe it. That's really important to me. And that's why if you can get a head start and go for your senior year, again, don't quote me, then you just do 1 year after that, then you get your 2-year associate's degree, and then you can go on to your 4-year school, major in whatever. I'm not worried about it, because you will know who you are in Christ at that point, and you'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Very often, even in Christian schools, you take maybe 1 or 2 classes. That is not a biblical foundation. That's cultural Christianity. You better know the word of God inside and out when the going gets rough, and it will. And so that's why I just feel like that's the best use of your time and energy is skip your senior year, graduate early, and get started on your theological education.
Which just logistically, I only know South Carolina laws because I'm here, but our age is till 17. So even like when I've mapped out what I plan for my kids to do, why would I do another year just to get to 18, you know, when he can graduate when he's 17 and have that freedom and flexibility to, even if we approach it like a gap year or whatever.
Yes. Now let's talk about those high level courses that make people have indigestion, like physics, you know, and calculus and trig. So a lot of people are like, well, I just could never teach those. I'm like, no, of course not. Are you kidding me? I can barely add and subtract. But the point is that we know who can teach them, okay? And that's the difference. We're not the all-knowing ones. It's that we are more a purveyor of resources for our children when they're in high school. For example, when JJ was growing up, just not even a big church, one of our pastors had a PhD in neutrino physics and had been a college professor. You know, he was available at the end of a phone call, like, boom, we can call Randy anytime we need him. Then we had a math teacher, a high school math teacher. He called JJ J squared. And so that was so cute. So, you know, we all know people who know people. If you say, well, I can't teach physics, well, heavens to Murgatroyd, neither could anybody. But we've got this wonderful gentleman who's teaching high level math or science. So I don't believe in farming your children out, and that's a whole nother conversation, but I want you to homeschool your children. I want you to be the primary influencers, mother and father, of your children's lives. But there are some things you're just not qualified to teach. Now, granted, a lot of this is just available online, and if that's what you want, I would never do the humanities online. But if you want to do a math or a science, you're welcome to do that. I would rather that you maybe consider doing a dual enrollment situation where you begin developing college credits while you're in high school. It's a very financially responsible thing to do, but it's also a very good way for your child to get one foot in the water while he's firmly encamped at home. He's not going off to college. He's never, you know, spent the night away from home or kind of thing. You know, this is a child who's now getting some experience with the big boys out there in the colleges. And some Christian colleges do have these programs as well, where you can do dual enrollment for high school, where you're getting high school and college credit simultaneously. The only thing with that, and we talk about that and begin with the end of mine, is make sure it's transferable credit. That's the other thing. You don't want to have a heartbreak on the day of registration at your four-year school when they're like, well, these are intro classes that don't transfer to Biola or wherever you're going to go. So just do a little homework, call the registrar at your college of choice. But that's a great opportunity. The other thing is letting your child have some trade experiences while they're in high school. So say they want to own a motorcycle repair shop or something like that. Who knows someone who knows someone who you could say, could my child intern under you? That means they're going to be cleaning up grease and getting tools while you're under a machine. Fabulous. You are learning every minute of that. And we will bake you homemade bread every week and take your dog for a walk three times a week. You're doing a service to us, and we want to honor that. We don't expect that you owe us any of your time, because your billable hours as a mechanic are going to be affected by my son asking you questions. So it's got to be reciprocal. In the old days, people paid for apprenticeships. So we need to be respectful of people's time and treat them with honor. But using high school, again, to find your child's destiny and direction, whichever way it goes. It's not a one-stop thing where it's like, well, we're going to do this and that's all we're going to do. No, maybe that didn't work out. Let's try something else. Using summers, that's a wonderful thing to take advantage of in high school as well. Working, volunteering, and apprenticing.
And circling back to the Bible college thing, we want our kids to have a biblical worldview and be very biblically literate. For that reason, you've really crafted the whole history curriculum, you know, around Francis Schaeffer's book, How Shall We Then Live? So maybe talk about that, of just what's the vision for that? Because it's not just Bible college, but before you even leave the house, having that biblical worldview in mind.
Do you want to get your kids into music lessons but don't want to add a commute to your schedule? Take commuting to music lessons off your to-do list this year and spend more time actually making music. At Vogtberg Music Academy, you can learn to play piano, guitar, mandolin, ukulele, or violin and fiddle right in your own home. Rewind the tough parts, speed up your progress with bonus lessons in the video vault, and learn a new song every single week. My daughter had just started the piano lessons and she is really loving it. Join thousands of other families using VogtbergMusicAcademy.com as their one-stop shop for musical instruction, all for less than $30 a month per family, per instrument. Use our code HOMESCHOOL20 and get 20% off every month you are enrolled at Vogtberg Music Academy. Music should be for everyone, and learning has never been more efficient and fun. Now let's get back to the episode.
So from the very beginning of me doing seminars, you know, 35 or plus years ago, I determined that I was going to base my curriculum on Francis Schaeffer's book, How Should We Then Live, which is what I based JJ's education on. How Should We Then Live is the history of Western civilization from a Christian perspective, starting with ancient Rome, then Middle Ages, Renaissance, Reformation, Age of Reason, you know, up to basically present time. Dr. Schaeffer's been gone for probably 20 years, but basically contemporary time. And then to go with those books, I included The Gift of Music, written by two professional musicians who worked with Dr. Schaeffer and Edith at LaBrie, Jane Stuart Smith and Betty Carlson. And then the third book in the trilogy would be Invitation to the Classics, which is the history. So music is chronological, starting with King David and then Schütz, Bach, Vivaldi, Handel, ending with Shostakovich. And then Invitation to the Classics is the history of literature chronologically, written by us, edited by Os Guinness and Louise Cowan. So what they did is they found professors all over the country that were experts in different authors. And they asked, you know, Dr. Lundeen at Wheaton College to do several of the chapters, and, you know, different professors that were respected and trusted in their fields. And they started, I believe, with Homer, and ended with, I think, Solzhenitsyn. So again, chronologically through literature. So you have history of Western Civ, the history of music, the history of literature. And those three books, all Labrie people, Os Guinness, discipled by Dr. Schaefer at Labrie. So you have these three books that are the core of your child's education growing up. And I don't want you farming your child out for these things. I want you and them watching the videos, which are free. I think they're on YouTube and different places. So the How Should We Then Live videos, where Dr. Schaefer was on location all over Europe. His son, Frankie, who's a filmmaker, filmed him. So he's standing on a Roman road, or he's on scaffolding under the Sistine Chapel, or, you know, whatever he's doing. He is on location and he's explaining what the worldview was behind this. The Sistine Chapel has all the prophets of Israel, he says. But then over here is something interesting, the Oracle of Delphi. What on earth is the Oracle of Delphi? Where'd she come from? Oh, well, she's this lady in ancient Greece that just stood over this fissure in the rock and the gas came up and she got kind of woozy and she'd say these semi-profound things. And they're putting her up there with Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. What is missing in this picture? Well, because the church believed at that time and place that classical thought was on an equal footing with biblical thought, which is heresy. But yet that was the Renaissance. And so he's standing there, not just teaching you, but you're seeing these paintings and you're seeing the Sistine Chapel that the Pope paid for with the Oracle of Delphi on it. And so these are foundational books that will give your children the ability to stand when others fall, because it will give them that worldview based on reason and faith that will equip them when other kids are just like, well, I don't know. It's just what my pastor always said. It's like, well, that doesn't last. So again, that ownership, because we're to love God with our whole mind, you know, and heart and strength. And so the life of the mind is integral in what we're accomplishing in high school and preparing our kids to think Christianly.
Yeah, I read How Should We Then Live a few years ago. And when I read it, I was, if I read this in high school, wow, this would be amazing. So I think it's awesome that these students get to do this. And I can't wait for my kids to be in high school too.
So I say to families, just read one chapter that a semester. It's all it is. This is not easy reading. I understand that. But if you just read that one chapter, read it slowly outside of basketball practice with a highlighter, then read it again because you have no idea what he said. Read it a couple times and then watch the video with your children. And then read all the other easy books that I've given you on the pink sheets. Then at the end of the semester, read the chapter again with the kids out loud and watch the video. And it will make so much more sense and it will really equip them and it will last.
Is there anything else you want to say as a final encouragement to parents in the high school years?
I would just stay really close to your children. Win their heart for the rest of their lives during high school. Don't be too busy and don't let them be too busy. And don't let other people raise your kids in high school. Stay very close to them. Stay close as a family. There's nothing wrong with, you know, a high school science or math, but you're not doing this co-op-y thing where they just sleep at home and you call that homeschool. That is not homeschool. You need to keep your hand on the pulse of your children's life during those years. It is essential. And don't give up your authority and your influence, because once they leave home, that influence will imprint them for life if you've really gotten it in their clay. David Arroyo, one of my board members, whose sons have gone to Oxford, Cornell, Stanford, you know, all full rides. He is a Rhodes Scholar. He told me, and his kids have told me, A, that their parents are their very best friends, and B, they've told me that they talk to their children every single day. When Vidal was at Oxford, he said, they had this plan on our phone bill that you paid whatever it was. It was like $15 or something. And you could have unlimited internet. And he said, we milked that. We talked to Vidal every day. And I'm like, yes. And when you meet Vidal, you see, he adores his parents. They all, the kids do. and they adore their siblings as well as their parents. And those kids are not smoking pot behind the tool shed because they have that foundation in Christ. And they said, your parents, you guys just love each other. You like hang out together. You do stuff together. And sometimes we get so busy trying to, you know, get into Yale that we're missing the relational piece that homeschool does so well. Your kids will bring you joy, and they will rise up and call you blessed because you've laid down your life. It's a short period of time to lay down your life, but you will reap the benefits for the rest of your life. If you do this kind of intense, relational, hands-on discipleship.
Yeah, I think that's encouraging no matter where you're at with parenting and raising your kids. If they're in high school already, or if they're just little like mine are, it's just encouraging to remember the whole vision and to keep it in front of us. Like you say, keep eternity on our eyelids so that we don't, you know, lose heart, and so that we can look at other examples and say, this is going to be worth it, and our labor is not going to be in vain. Not necessarily because we can guarantee a result, but because we know that we'll have left everything on the court. You know, we'll have done everything that we could have done, and that will be worth it.
That is so good. Yeah, and we're at the two different ends of the spectrum of stage of life. You know, last night I was playing pickleball, and my phone rings. It's JJ, and he's like, "Hi, Mom. I know I've been really busy, and I haven't checked on you. I just want to see how you're doing." I'm like, "Who does this?" I mean, it was just so dear when your kids, like John the Beloved said, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." That is a life well lived. Yeah, I've buried two parents in recent years, and boy, when you spend a day at a deathbed or several days at a deathbed, it kind of puts things in perspective. I was invited to a funeral the other day and I couldn't go, but I said, you know, my motto is you should go to a funeral a month because it brings that eternity into focus. It's really important that we live our lives with that perspective because the world, the tyranny of the urgent, just it never stops dictating its agenda. I care about my deathbed, and like you said, leaving it all on the court. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I'll use that at my pickleball experiences. I'm leaving it all on the court.
Yeah, all on the court. Any court you can apply it to. Right.
This is the most important thing we'll ever do, is raise our children for eternity. It's more important than any job. It's more important than any ministry. Nothing is more important than the influence that we can have on our children and our grandchildren and maybe our great-grandchildren.
Well, I think that's a great place to stop. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast with Carol Joy Side. If you want to learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach, you can visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/ebook. To get our free ebook about the 5 essential parts of a great education. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Be sure to join us next time as we help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Blessings.